the pod. I'm Chris Hewitt, and welcome to this very, very late in the day, very impromptu special edition of the Empire Podcast, dedicated entirely to an investor call. Yes, folks, nothing more romantic in movies than letting shareholders know that their money is safe. But luckily, in the midst of doing that, yesterday in Disney's great big four-hour update-a-thon, they also unleashed a shit ton of content that will keep us talking about it and then watching it for many, many years to come. So much content to get through. In fact, we decided, for personnel availability reasons, we decided to do it as a special, but also because there's so much to get into, we decided not to add it to the regular podcast. Anyway, the we, in this case, being my three colleagues of such lethal cunning, Helen O'Hara.
Hello.
James Dyer.
Hello.
Ben Travis.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Who stayed up and kind of, who actually watched this? I was checking updates on my phone as things went, but I didn't watch it.
So I was doing that. I was refreshing Twitter constantly. And then I was like, hang on a minute, it's streaming live. What am I doing? So then I switched to the live feed.
I watched it for hours, basically. I got hooked in while I was doing the washing up. I tuned in because they were starting to do the content bit. And then they very quickly got to Star Wars, and that was super exciting, so I stopped doing the washing up. And then they, I was like, oh my god, what if it's Marvel next? And then they went straight to Nat Geo, so I did a bit more washing up. And then I went to bed and just thought, well, the Marvel bit's going to be soon. And then there was a bit of a break, and then I was like, the Marvel bit's going to be soon. Mm-hmm. And then Davy Diggs had a really fun song about wanting a puppy for Hanukkah, which was great, but that wasn't the Marvel panel, so I was there going, I mean, it's going to be the Marvel bit soon. And then it was Disney
Diggs. With your voice of an angel.
And then suddenly it was time to get up in the morning.
That's the thing. It just kept going, and I was like, I need sleep. I'm very, very tired today because I stayed up far later than I expected watching an investment call.
I wonder if they forgot anyone. Do you think there's anyone who's still standing there waiting in the wings, waiting for their show to be announced? Because it felt very Oprah-y in like, you get a Star Wars show, you get a Star Wars show, you get a Star Wars show. But it also felt a little bit like, you know, the Andy Warhol thing in the future, everyone will have a Star Wars or a Marvel TV show for 15 minutes. It felt a little bit like that. I felt a little bit left out, quite frankly, that we didn't get a Star Wars or Marvel show, because quite frankly, we've been fucking pitching for it for the last few years.
Well, I mean, look at it this way, Chris. On the way that we work as things stand, we have actually got like 16 more shows lined up for us to do.
I know.
We've got live action Marvel shows, we've got more Star Wars shows, and we're going to have to spoiler every single one of these bastards.
Indeed. I'm going to spoil the shit out of them because they've spoiled the shit out of my social life by doing this. So I'm going to retaliate by spoiling your shows for
after
those people who are interested. Yes. And after the fact, of course, yes.
Always spoil responsibly.
Yes. Be considerate of other people, folks. Anyway, so this is essentially the Disney Investor Call spoiler special as well, I guess.
Of course.
So there's so much to talk about. There is so much to talk about. What's the best way to do this? Is it to go, I mean, for us, I guess the big stuff is the Star Wars and the Marvel stuff. But we have to also talk about the huge Pixar announcements, the huge Disney animation announcements, the
Sister Act 3.
Disney Are you kidding
Plus
me?
Original thing. We can't gloss over, of course, the fact that they kind of almost surreptitiously hid an announcement that all movies that will now be produced under the auspices of 20th Century Studios, aka former Fox, and Searchlight Pictures, aka formerly Fox Searchlight, are going to stream rather than going to cinemas. That feels pretty seismic to me, and regrettable as well, I must say. But there's a lot of stuff to dig into here. Where do you want to start?
I mean, on that front quickly, I was kind of unsure on the Fox Searchlight thing. It was kind of ambiguous whether they meant we are going to make specific Fox Searchlight films that will go straight to streaming as well as ones that go to cinema, or whether it was them saying that all of those films will go to streaming now. It was kind of like quite confusing when they were dishing that info out, because I can see that, like, on a Disney Plus sense, they announced some Disney films that will be straight to Disney Plus, but they also announced things that will be cinematic releases, and it was hard to tell whether that's still going to be the case for Fox Searchlight or whether it'll just be streaming going forward.
I think they're trying to leave a little bit of ambiguity there just because the world is ambiguous right now, and they're probably waiting to see. I hope.
I mean, for me, like, kind of two things really stood out from this whole thing. And one was that Disney Plus is clearly being put center stage as the core of their business. Whether that's just a public perception thing for investors for this coming year, I do not know. But I thought that was a very interesting development. Also, they've essentially, in one fell swoop, turned Disney Plus from a luxury service which has an impressive back catalogue for those without an extensive DVD collection and one good show into possibly the most essential streaming service in the world, not least because of all of these new shows, but also from the fact that we, you know, outside of the US, we've not had Hulu. Hulu has some of the best shows on television on it, and they tend to get auctioned off to Starzplay or, you know, Amazon or wherever else. They turn up wherever. Now they will all turn up on Star, and everyone who subscribes to Disney Plus gets Star. So Star being, you know, international Hulu. And that is massive.
Yeah, the Star thing is enormous. I mean, they kind of announced that Disney Plus is now the center of our business thing in the summer. And like yourself, I wonder how much of that is...
I didn't believe them then, though. Like, right. I felt like, okay. Yeah, sure you are, because you want people to sign up. But now looking at this, I actually now believe that it is the center of their business.
Yeah, it definitely does seem like it is. But yeah, 52 announcements, I think, overall. That's insane.
I'm happy about the Star thing because Hulu stuff kind of falls through the cracks here. Like some bits get picked up, some bits don't. Like I've been really, really looking forward to Love, Victor, the Love, Simon spin-off show. And just like it just didn't come out here. And it's been in the States for ages. So having like a more natural home for those things will definitely be welcome.
And it means that Disney Plus right now, much as I love it, is heavy on kids stuff. And, you know, I am absolutely here for High School Musical, the musical, the show. But, you know, it's a little bit younger probably in its aims than I am. And, you know, I've made my peace with that and that's fine. But this means that there is actually going to be more grown-up content on there. It's not just going to be the right stuff on Nat Geo.
You sure about that, Helen? This all feels very kid stuff to me.
On Stars, I've moved on. Or Star Plus or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Star Plus. Yeah. Star Plus is swearing and boobs. I'm all for it. Yes, please.
Good Lord. Anyway,
let's start, speaking of swearing and boobs, let's start with the Marvel lineup, shall we?
Swearing and boobs, really?
Swearing and
boobs.
Okay. Because when they started announcing things, I started swearing very loudly and then may have flashed my boobs because it was so good.
Wow.
We all did it.
Swearing and boobs, of course, is the nickname for Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Hey.
He's swearing. He has boobs. Those two gentlemen in question, Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan, do not have boobs.
Do not have man boobs.
Yes,
no, not at all.
Not at all. No moobs have come within 5 feet of those gentlemen. My word, specimens. Anyway, yes, so Kevin Feige took to the virtual stage. I don't know where he was, presumably in his kitchen. I don't know, with a green screen, who knows? Maybe that was his kitchen.
His home green screen studio. Yeah.
Yes, he has his own. Like Dick Van Dyke. Like if Dick Van Dyke has a green screen at his home, so maybe so does Kevin Feige. Maybe that's where they've been shooting Shang-Chi during lockdown. Who knows? Anyway, so they announced. Well, it's interesting what they announced yesterday at the MCU thing. We spent a fair chunk of time on the regular podcast talking about all the Spider-Man 3. / not Spider-Man 3 rumors. And then maybe this will be confirmed at the investor call. And then, of course, it was never going to be because that's a Sony
it's
property.
Sony, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But they announced so much stuff yesterday. And let's just go through it. I'll outline what it is really, really quickly. And then you can pick out the stuff you really want to talk about. Okay. So they announced a new TV show, a new Disney Plus limited series called Ironheart, which will introduce Riri Williams, who is one of the people who kind of inherits or takes on Tony Stark's mantle. That was out of nowhere. There was no rumor about that whatsoever. Ditto. Yeah. Armor Wars, which is a series that's going to focus on Don Cheadle's Rhodey, aka War Machine. And that's going to be about what happens when Tony Stark's worst fear is realized. I don't know exactly what that is.
I think it's that bad people get the Iron Man armor. It's like a super terrorist with Iron Man armor and War Machine having to take them down.
So in the comics, it was obviously Tony who went and took them all down and got in trouble because some of the operatives who had his technology were government operatives. And actually, in one case, he falsely accused somebody of using his technology who was a government operative and got in trouble for that as well. But it was basically him going all around the world and fighting both supervillains, enemy agents, and US government agents who were using elements of his Iron Man armor for their own purposes and basically using his negator on them to take down the tech.
Thank you both for taking my question literally. I meant what his worst fear was, and I presumed it was something like disco or something. But you know,
no, we know he likes Eiffel 65.
Yeah, this is true. Or waffles with gluten in them. You know, I thought that might have been Tony Stark's worst fear, but it is, of course, his technology falling into the wrong hands. So that's exciting. They talked about Eternals a little bit, but there's nothing really new there to talk about. We saw the first trailer for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which looks really, really cool. Mm-hmm. They confirmed that Shang-Chi has just finished shooting, and they confirmed the main cast. We saw a second trailer for WandaVision, which wasn't that different from the first, but gave us a little bit of new stuff. We saw Tiona Paris speak for the first time. We saw Catherine Hahn speak for the first time. Mm-hmm. They confirmed that Ant-Man 3 is actually going to be officially called Ant-Man and the Wasp, Sonny Bircharama, and I'm excited about that. I'm here for that.
No,
I don't think that's okay. It.
They confirmed that it's going to be called Quantumania, which is fine with Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness as my favorite Marvel Studios title. It has to be said. I love that. They also confirmed that Jonathan Majors is going to be playing Kang the Conqueror, which is potentially huge as well. They confirmed that there is a Fantastic Four movie in the works, and that it will be directed by John Watts once, presumably, he finishes his work on Spider-Man 3, unless he's Spielberg levels of multitasking. They showed the first trailer for Loki, which looks really fun.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, so fun.
Wild.
Wild.
I have no
wild,
idea what's
wild.
Going on, and no, I'm so happy none. About that.
Yeah. Is this Mission Impossible? It's really hard to pin down, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Mission Impossible with a bell end at the center instead of Ethan Hunt.
Yeah, it does look like he gets coerced or pressured into doing a thing. Christ knows what it is.
By Owen Wilson, of all people.
I'm so glad to see him back on screen. I feel like we don't see him enough anymore, and it's so good when he's back.
And really displaying his range as well by doing something that was completely and utterly un-Owen Wilson-y. Oh, no, it was exactly like Owen Wilson. It was so great. Oh, I loved it. It was tremendous.
I feel like it was a bit of a different shade of Owen Wilson. He wasn't being like schlubby loser guy. Like, it was the hair, it was the, like, that he was wearing a suit. Maybe that was it. But I wasn't excited to watch the Loki show because of Owen Wilson, but now I'm like, really like their interplay. I'm really excited to see what that character like brings to the show,
and to find out more importantly what the hell is going on. They also confirmed that after so much faffing around, some of the faffing around with some of these confirmations is just ridiculous. They've only now just confirmed that Sam Raimi is back to bring his godlike powers to Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. But I think the thing that really snuck through in that announcement, did anyone else notice this? America Chavez.
Yes.
Is in that movie. We'll talk about that in a second. They talked a little bit more about What If it's going to be, including the fact that it will contain Chadwick Boseman's, well, I presume his last ever performance, and certainly his last ever performance as T'Challa in What If. They confirmed further Hawkeye. We now know that Hayley Steinfeld is going to be playing Kate Bishop in that. Vera Farmiga is going to be in it. No talk of Florence Pugh, although she has been heavily rumored, but she was not confirmed in that show yesterday. They confirmed the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which is something that James Gunn has apparently been badgering Kevin Feige to do for years, because he's a huge fan of the original Star Wars Holiday Special.
You know what changed it? I'll tell you what. It was our conversation on the podcast, which they haven't even heard yet, about whether or not, you know, what kind of movie universes we wanted to have a Christmas movie.
Yes.
They heard us, Chris.
They heard us.
They heard us.
Oh my God, has Feige bugged my house?
Oh
again? They also confirmed there's going to be a series of small, short animated movies called I Am Groot, following the adventures of Baby Groot, I think. Thor Love and Thunder, they confirmed that Christian Bale is going to be the bad guy in that movie, and he's going to be playing Gore, the God Butcher.
Yes,
Gore.
That's
Gore,
huge.
Gore blimey.
Prime the God Bomb, people.
Yeah.
That's my Skype name.
They also confirmed that Black Widow is going to be playing in cinemas when it opens in May. Thank
Damn
the maker.
Right.
They also confirmed that we're nowhere further along with the Mahershala Ali starring this Blade movie, but it is now officially on their little slate thing here. They confirmed that Ms. Marvel is filming right now, the Ms. Marvel limited edition series for Disney Plus, and they confirmed that Iman Vellani, who plays Ms. Marvel, will also show up in the sequel to Captain Marvel, which at the moment is called Captain Marvel 2. I would be astonished if that stayed the same, given all the lurid, florid names around it. And that Tiona Paris is going to be in that as well as Monica Rambeau. They confirmed that Moon Knight is in the works, although they didn't confirm Oscar Isaac for that. They confirmed after weeks of faffing around that Tatiana Maslany is going to play She-Hulk, and that is shooting very, very soon, and would also see the return of Tim Roth as the Abomination.
What?
Like,
from
sure.
The Incredible Hulk.
By okay. popular demand.
by popular demand. He's back. Tim Roth. Loves a bit of Roth. And he's back. He's back, and Mark Ruffalo will also appear on that show as Bruce Banner, maybe even Smart Hulk, who knows?
They kind of teased in there as well. They were like, you never know who's going to show up, and she may come across other lawyers in the show. Wink, wink, wink. Which was an interesting...
Golly. Mm-hmm. Justice for Cox!
It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
They can show Cox on Disney Plus.
Yeah. They can on Star Plus.
That's true.
Yeah, they can.
Cox aplenty on Star Plus. Wow. Because the rumor is that Charlie Cox is going to be in Spider-Man 3 as Daredevil.
Indeed.
Which would make me very happy.
I have a heavy amount of skepticism about that. Like, I'd love it to happen. I think he's great. I just don't quite know how those tones match. Because the Netflix stuff, as much as they launched it as like, oh, it's kind of MCU adjacent. It feels very separate to me. But that did feel like a nod towards it.
But if you think about his scenes with Foggy, then actually those are quite Spider-Man friendly. You know, he has that capacity, so I think it could work.
Yeah.
But yeah, him and She-Hulk for sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's worked in the comics for years, where you get Spider-Man and Daredevil, you know, teaming up, and it doesn't matter, their comics are wildly different in tone. Three really quick last things to talk about, then we can single out what we want to talk about. So they confirmed the Nick Fury TV show is going to be called Secret Invasion, which is very interesting. That's definitely one I want to come back to. I will also star Ben Mendelsohn as Talos the Skrull, and is inspired by a very, very popular crossover arc in the comics from a few years ago.
In which the Skrulls are the villains, though. So this is going to be an interesting one.
We will come back to this in a second, folks. And Black Panther 2 is going to happen. They confirmed that as well, that Ryan Coogler is going to write and direct it. And they confirmed once and for all, and I think this is the right thing to do, that they're not going to recast Chadwick Boseman. They're not going to bring in someone else to fill his shoes in any way, shape, or form. It's not going to be, there's going to be no CG. The movie will be about honoring his legacy and shining a light on the wider world of Wakanda. And I think that is the right thing to do.
Absolutely. 100%.
I agree completely.
I'm looking at the little grid of logos that was released last night. And in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a question mark. Now, that question mark could mean any number of things. It could be the Riddler. It could be the first ever crossover between DC and the MCU. You never know. It could be their way of denoting or acknowledging the Spider-Man movie that's in production right now. Could be. It could also be their way of saying, oh, there's something else coming that is big and we haven't announced it yet. I think it's Deadpool 3. Deadpool is the character who would put a question mark in that space. I think that's what it is.
Okay. Or it could be, I mean, well, it could be anything, let's be honest. I was going to say it could be X-Men, but that's like, it's such a cliched response to any Marvel announcement that I can't possibly say that.
Please let it be X-Men.
Unless it's a specific X-person.
X-person,
if that's their way in, and but they don't want to reveal which one yet they're leading with.
Isn't Tony Stark technically an X-person?
Oh, too soon.
Oh, well, okay. Well, just find a level.
The cheeseburgers are still warm, Chris.
Oh, wow. I'm going to cry. Stop it.
Okay, right. So we have a lot to talk about, a lot to dig into. We haven't even gone on to Star Wars yet. So what do you specifically want to talk about from that little lot?
I want to very briefly mention something that's not a huge deal, but I think is really neat, which is that Catherine Newton is going to play Cassie Lang in Ant-Man 3. Mm. People here haven't had a chance to see Freaky yet, but she's so good in Freaky. I think she'll be like a really fun addition to the MCU. So I thought that was a very nice little addition among all the mega clanging news.
I thought also the it wasn't quite buried, but the fact that America Chavez, who is another great character, was my favorite character when I played Marvel Puzzle Quest, as a matter of fact. And she was a very, very powerful character. And she's going to be in Doctor Strange 2. And they announced the rest of the cast is going to be, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch and Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Rachel McAdams is back and Benedict Wong is back. But they also mentioned that Xochitl Gomez, and I apologize for the mangling of your name there, Xochitl, and I'm sure you're listening, she's going to be in it. I don't know how she's going to fit in, where she's going to fit in. And of course, Elizabeth Olsen's in that movie as well. And Sam Raimi. Very excited. Jimbo, you wanted to talk about Secret Invasion.
Yeah, Secret Invasion interests me because when they revealed Talos and the Skrulls to be not the villains of Captain Marvel, it kind of upended everything we thought we knew about the Skrulls. And the whole of Secret Invasion, because we talked, you know, in the run-up to Endgame, like, would they bring in the Skrulls? Would it involve Secret Invasion? If it's time, you know, is it going to be that they've been infiltrating the MCU all along and you're a Skrull, everyone's a Skrull? And then they turned it on its head. Actually, the Skrulls are really nice and cuddly and Ben Mendelsohn's hilarious. Hooray. Yet, Secret Invasion, you know, is it going to be a splinter group of bad Skrulls? Is it going to be a different thing? You know, what's that going to be? I'm 100% here for any TV series that has Nick Fury and Talos in it. But I'm very curious to see how this pans out.
And they set it up neatly in Far From Home as well, didn't they? When you think you've been watching Nick Fury that whole time and actually it was Talos. And obviously Nick Fury himself is in space somewhere. Yeah. So that feels like a nice tear to that. Mm-hmm. I'm interested that they're doing that on Disney Plus though, because it felt like that was going to be a potential big, a potential plot arc for Phase 4 and beyond, whatever's post-Infinity Saga. So it's interesting that it seems to be a more contained thing on Disney Plus instead of an ongoing multi-movie arc.
We don't know how much these are tied into the movie. So we don't actually know that. You know, we are led to believe that Florence Pugh, for example, is going to be crossing from the movie to TV and presumably back again. There's no reason that a Secret Invasion storyline might not cross back into the movies with Captain Marvel 2, for example, maybe.
Yeah. It's really fascinating to me actually seeing how they've gone about deciding what goes where.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it still feels a bit strange to me that Falcon and the Winter Soldier is going to be a Disney Plus limited series. And as much as I enjoyed the first two movies, that Ant-Man 3 is going to be a film. Because that feels like that's the one that would probably have suited the small screen, maybe a bit more. But maybe it's about the size of the story they're trying to tell. So maybe the story that they're trying to tell in Loki and Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision fits 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, however long these things are going to be, instead of 105 minutes or whatever it is. It's fascinating. But maybe Secret Invasion, maybe you're right. Maybe they're trying to just remove the lines that we normally have, that, you know, the sort of stigma that still exists when people think about film and TV. And maybe they're trying to remove that by starting a huge storyline that might pertain more to Phase 5, possibly, in Secret Invasion right here, and placing Nick Fury right at the center of it.
Possible.
Maybe.
I mean, I think in terms of the Ant-Man thing, it would make sense to me if Quantumania... The thing about Endgame is it opened the quantum realm up in interesting ways to time travel, most obviously, but just time and space travel, right? And if we have Doctor Strange opening multiverses and we have Ant-Man opening all of time and space through the quantum realm, and then fighting Kang, who of course also has time travel doodamahickeys, you know, you're kind of opening a lot of doors, and maybe that's why those have to be big screen, and that's why things like WandaVision will tie into that and feed into that, but things like Ant-Man belong on the big screen, maybe.
Maybe.
It's basically what you just said.
I really liked the little bit of footage we saw of Ms. Marvel. It already looks great. Like, Iman Vellani looks great in it. And I didn't know, was it confirmed before that Adil and Bilal, the directors of Bad Boys for Life, are directing episodes of that show?
Rumored,
I can't remember
but not
if that
confirmed.
Was. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm so excited for that series. I love those comics so much. Mm-hmm. And especially with Spider-Man 3 seeming to go bigger and bigger in its Spider-Verse, and there's all these villains coming back, when the thing I really loved about Homecoming was the neighborhoodiness of it, the small scale of it. I'm hoping that Ms. Marvel can kind of fill that void, because those comics definitely do that it's Jersey City, it's her very local neighborhood that it's set in.
And I'm really hyped that they are doing Ironheart. I think that's fascinating that she's coming in as she is. So Riri Williams is a kind of, she's an engineering prodigy in her own right, but she is kind of mentored by Tony in the comics. And of course, without Tony, it'll be interesting to see, do they pair her with a similar figure or just have her completely go off on her own? But that's just a major, major step forward again in making this universe, you know, less white and less male. I mean, there are practically no leads called Chris this time around, you know, and no offense, Chris. Well, obviously you're upset, but you know, it's a genuine opening up of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I think that's a great, great thing to see.
I think there's still time for people to change their names to Chris.
Well, I mean, I think Dominique Thorne sounds quite nice, but maybe she'd be open to being called Chris Thorne.
Chris Thorne.
If that would make you feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Chris Cheadle. Chris Cumberbatch.
Chris L. Jackson.
Yes. the big thing for me that I took away from that, and I'm excited about lots of things. I'm excited about Christian Bale playing someone called a God Butcher. That's exciting to me. We haven't really talked that much about the Falcon and Winter Soldier trailer. It looked fine. It looked decent, you know, but it didn't look like it was changing the game in any significant way. Whereas Loki and I think WandaVision look really batshit weird in a way that I think might be really surprising to people. Maybe Falcon and Winter Soldier needs to be more familiar to people. Mm. Maybe just to, you know, ground them in that way.
Ease them in, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing I really took away from the announcements, the Fantastic Four movie was huge for me. And the fact that they've gone with John Watts is a huge vote of confidence for him for the work he's done on Spider-Man.
He did an extraordinary job, I think, with Spider-Man, getting that tone right, just getting that heart in place. And I think that's exactly what the Fantastic Four needs. It needs to have that heart and that centeredness on the relationship between those characters before you get into anything cosmic, before you get into them getting their powers or exploiting their powers or becoming international figures or anything else. You need to have the right people in the right relationships in those roles. And I think he is a good shout to do that.
Yeah, his Spider-Man films, they're just immensely likable. They're just like super, super charming. And I think a lot of the Fantastic Four were, especially the last Fantastic Four movie we got, was just missing any sort of charm or like lovableness among its many, many flaws. It just, wasn't a charming film.
Let's move on then to the Lucasfilm slate, because that's what it was. It was the Lucasfilm part of the presentation, because it's not all about Star Wars, folks, although a significant part of it is about Star Wars. So just to go through the Lucasfilm slate. So they have Children of Blood and Bone, which I'm sure Helen and Jimbo have read.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's a fantastic, fantastic fantasy novel. It's sort of set in kind of West Africa and just like nothing you've ever read before. Really, really worth a read.
Fantastic. All right. I should put that on my list. We have Star Wars Visions, which is a series of animated shorts, I believe, from anime shorts.
Yeah, it sounds very animatrix to me. It's meant to be, you know, we were told something about a diverse vision of the Star Wars universe. So I think it's going to be kind of Star Wars' version of What If, but I guess we'll find out. But I'm intrigued. Interesting to see what they come up with.
Very much so. We have a show called The Mandalorian. I don't know much about that. But of course, that seems to be getting two spin-offs from The Mandalorian. So we have Ahsoka, in which Rosario Dawson will play Ahsoka Tano. And yes, that episode that she was in was a backdoor pilot. So, yep. And then we have something called Rangers of the New Republic, which has really infuriated Celtic fans. But presumably it's not about a football team. Presumably it is instead about a group of
law
New
people?
Republic
space cops?
Space cops.
Star Wars
:
space cops.
Yeah. Maybe that's where Cobb Vanth will show up. Who knows? Maybe he will be a ranger of the New Republic. Maybe this is where Cara Dune will turn up as well. Who the F knows? Hopefully the people making the shows do. We have another TV show. We have Lando, which is going to see Donald Glover playing Lando Calrissian again. And why the hell not?
Did they confirm Donald Glover? I mean, I'm assuming, but
I think this is the assumption is that I don't think they confirmed it, but it's almost certainly going to be him.
All right, I misspoke, but it's almost certainly going to be Donald
almost
Glover.
Almost certainly, yeah.
Yes, we have A Droid Story, which is another animated show. We have Andor, about the most indecisive character in Star Wars, played by Diego Luna, and that's
terrible
been shooting
pun.
For a while here in London under the auspices of Tony Gilroy. We have The Bad Batch, which is another animated Star Wars show. We have Leslie Headland's show has been called The Acolyte.
It's the end of the High Republic and the rise of the Empire, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's set in the era of the High Republic, so it's about 300 to 100 years before the Battle of Yavin, which is how they measure the dates in the Star Wars canon.
Yes,
you're welcome.
Yavin. And I guess the two big announcements from the Star Wars part of the panel was that first one for the Obi-Wan Kenobi limited edition series, which is going to be on Disney Plus. I keep saying limited edition series. I'll just say limited series. Is going to see the return of Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader,
which makes no sense at all.
But I'm happy for him.
Unless Hayden Christensen's new career is as a stuntman and he's just going to be wearing the costume.
I mean, Pedro Pascal, you know?
True.
Like, there's precedent for an actor being in a good actor being in a Star Wars series.
But it wouldn't even be
his
voice. So it's like he's literally just doing motion capture at this point.
That's all right. We just paid a fulsome tribute to Dave Prowse last week because he filled Darth Vader's armor. You know, it's all about body language and physicality. So I think this could work. But it's really what's boggling my mind is how this is going to fit in, because Kathleen Kennedy said it's going to be the rematch of the century.
Mm.
How are these characters going to face off again?
I don't know. It's meant to be set about halfway through the 20 years between the prequels and the original trilogy. So you would have thought he was just busy hermiting at that point, Obi-Wan, but I guess not. And coming up with, obviously, he must have labored over his alias. So that probably took him a few years.
What if I called myself Ben?
No one suspects a Ben. No.
Solid name. It's a good choice. I've been in disguise for 29 years. No one's worked out yet.
Obi-Wan Travis.
Yeah.
In disguise.
No, Obi-Wan. That's a name I've not heard in a long time.
A long time.
See, I don't know how this is going to work because, you know, although they don't do dates, do they? Whenever Darth says, when last we met, I was a learner, you were the master and I was, whatever that line is in Star Wars, he doesn't specifically say when we met, which was 15 years ago, if I remember rightly.
Yes. When I left you, I was but the learner. I, of course, refer to the reunion battle that we had on Tatooine not so long ago.
Maybe they'll just keep missing each other. Maybe it'll be one of those kind of missed connections sort of shows, you know. Darth Vader will keep sending people after him.
Oh, he was here 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Maybe it will. I don't know what that show is going to be.
No idea.
I do not know. And that's exciting. But I know that Ewan is back, and I'm very happy about that. Mm. And the big of this, I mean, they talked about the fact that Taika is going to write and direct Taika Waititi is going to write and direct a Star Wars movie. Interesting enough, that had been rumored to have Christy Wilson-Cairns co-writing it with Taika. I don't think she was mentioned. Mm. Doesn't mean she's off the project. I'm sure there's other stuff going on that hasn't been announced yet. But the big movie news that was confirmed was that Patty Jenkins is going to direct a film called Rogue Squadron. And that was announced with a lovely video featuring Patty Jenkins, in which she talked about her lifelong desire to make the ultimate fighter pilot movie, because her dad was a fighter pilot, and when he died, her resolve to do so was doubled, essentially. But she couldn't really ever make it happen, but now she's going to get a chance. And she was on rollerblades, and then she was changing into a X-Wing fighter pilot's costume, and then she walked off towards an X-Wing. And it was a lovely, lovely video. And, you know, I know a lot of people on Twitter were really moved by it as well. Yeah, what do we think about this?
That video made me feel so emotional. And even just the announcement, like, it made my heart sing when they said her name. As somebody who may or may not have seen Wonder Woman 1984 and may or may not have really enjoyed Wonder Woman 1984 and may or may not have particularly really liked just the wholesome sincerity and positivity and the whole ethos that she brings to those projects, theoretically, the prospect of that being brought to a Star Wars film makes me so happy. And I think I said on one of the Mando pods the other week that I'm loving Mando every week, but I am aching for a big screen Christmas Star Wars. And even if it's years away, 2023, the prospect that we now have a solid, like, cinematic Star Wars film on the schedule with Patty Jenkins, and it's going to be like a like Top Gun, but Star Wars.
Yeah, Top
like,
Gun in space.
Sign me the fuck
super
up.
Here for it.
Well, she said all the right things when she was saying I wanted to make the greatest starfighter thing, and like the greatest fighter plane film, and you're just thinking, well, that's where Star Wars came from, like that, those were Lucas's touchstones, like Tora Tora Tora, like Dam Busters, like the whole of like those
Top
space
Gun,
battles.
Iron Eagle.
yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? It's at the heart of it, and if she can pull that off, then that film will be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's also nice that, given it's not so long ago that Kathleen Kennedy was claiming that there were no women who were fit to or wanted to make Star Wars movies, that it had been difficult to find female directors. It's really, really good to see Deborah Chow directing, Leslie Headland, and Patty Jenkins all kind of getting these roles. So it's a step in the right direction in terms of, you know, my perennial complaint about science fiction being unnecessarily sexist. I'm glad to see that we're trying to move beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the unexpected next TV series, Space Floozies, that they announced will not be one of your favourites.
Obviously, I'll be running that one, yeah.
Mm.
Now, of course, these days, live-action Star Wars directors have the life expectancy of a Spinal Tap drummer, so... You know, let's just wait and see what happens with this one. You know, hopefully Patty Jenkins will make it to the finishing line.
I do wonder what this means for a sequel to Wonder Woman. You know, Patty said she had an idea for that. I don't know if kind of Corona has derailed that now that it's going to HBO Max on the same day, if that affects mm-hmm. the chances of there being a Wonder Woman 3, if you like. There is a big question mark there, but, you know, I'm basically just thrilled to see her making big, big, crazy movies.
Yeah. And if John Watts can go straight from Spider-Man 3 into Fantastic Four, then sure. There's no reason why Patty Jenkins can't go from Rogue Squadron straight into Wonder Woman 3 or vice versa. Oh, big screen version of vice versa. Oh my God, now you're talking. two more things from the Lucasfilm presentation. So the limited series of Willow has been Woo-hoo! Confirmed with Warwick Davis back as Willow and John M. Chu directing the pilot.
Woohoo!
Helen's excited
Look,
about
I'm
that.
Excited,
the rest of us
right?
are.
I'm going to be excited for all of us.
That's good. That's good. You're Mad Mardigan for it. I like
am.
It.
I love him.
I can't believe I actually knew that name. And also confirmed is Indiana Jones 4? 5?
They've called it well, 5.
It would have to be the fourth one because I've only been 3. So.
This is true.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is true. Yeah. But they did talk about the fifth Indiana Jones movie in the presentation, which baffled
How
me a
weird.
Little
Maybe
bit.
Maybe it's a Fibonacci sequence, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5. Yeah. 1, 1, 2, yeah. 3, 5.
Maybe Indy only deals in prime numbers. Anyway. Indiana Jones 5 has been confirmed for 2022, and James Mangold is going to write and direct that, and Harrison Ford is going to star in it at the ripe old age of 107. But it's okay, he is drunk from the Holy Grail, so he is spry, he is near immortal. It
he
should
chose
be.
Wisely.
Yes, he did. Have Lucasfilm chosen wisely by making this movie? What do we think?
I mean, they something that they said, which I think we kind of assumed, but it was nice to hear them say it was fifth and final Indiana Jones film. So if there had been a fourth one that was colossally underwhelming, it feels like they're just trying to go out on a high with this thing. I think it was interesting as well, they officially confirmed James Mangold, which there's still part of me that just feels weird about Spielberg not... Yeah. directing Indiana Jones, but Mangold's a great director. He has quite a classical style that could work nicely for it.
I wonder if it's the end, really. Like, even if it's the end for Indiana Jones, I worry that they'll be tempted to introduce an other person who can somehow continue similar adventures forward. That's, I don't know. You know, and it could be done brilliantly. It could be a sort of a Logan, you know, take on Indiana Jones with an incredible character like she was, but I have some slight concerns.
I know, but I think they tried that with Mutt in the last one. That,
yeah.
God, I've acknowledged the last one exists. Oh no, I'm melting. And it didn't work. So I don't know that they'll go down that route. I think they'll make this the final one, leave it for a few years, and then cast some young hunky fella to play Indy. And we'll all be angry about it for 5 minutes, and then we'll go, every day's Christmas Eve. Give it a chance, and then the first trailer will come out and we go, yeah, it looks all right, and then we'll all be on board.
Yeah,
but that's the Lucasfilm slate, and I'm excited about a lot of stuff there. I think the Marvel slate for me is more exciting, but because people are talking about oversaturation, right? And we have been for years, and I think we're okay. Here's the thing, I don't think you have to see every one of these Star Wars shows to keep up and know what's what. I do feel you may have to see every single one of the Marvel shows in order to have a handle on everything. But
oh, no.
That's okay. It's fine for us. We're totally on board. But I do wonder whether this is going to be off-putting somewhat to the casuals. Who knows?
I mean, the fact that it's 10 series, it's a lot. And when you see it, when they announce it like this, it's like, whoa, that's a lot of Star Wars. But I think the way that they're doing it, or the way they're going to do it, that this is years worth of planning ahead. Yeah. These shows are going to arrive in drips and drabs, probably months apart, and we will feel like we're being relatively drip-fed them rather than being drowned in Star Wars content. And I think it helps as well that they're very, seemed like quite disparate projects. Obviously, there are two that are concurrent with The Mandalorian, which is the Ahsoka series and the Rangers series. Mm-hmm. But things like The Acolyte is like completely unexplored era of Star Wars. They're only about to kick off the High Republic in some new books that are coming out. The Lando series is obviously going to be kind of original trilogy or sort of pre-original trilogy around Solo. So I think the way that they're approaching it, they're pinpointing different eras, so even though it's all Star Wars, it's not all going to feel like the same
homework.
Thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
And also, yeah. I mean, yeah, and Ben's right. I mean, this is, we're literally talking sort of roughly three Marvel shows a year of maybe 12 episodes each, and most of them probably 8 or 10. So that's not a huge
commitment.
I'm saying
6 for Marvel.
Well,
I think the sweet spot for Marvel is 6. Certainly, I think that's what WandaVision is, and that's what Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to be. And I'm glad. And also the thing that, you know, the thing that I love about The Mandalorian is that they never pad out the episodes. The episodes are exactly as long as they need to be. You know, you don't have that Netflix bloat of everything has to be 45 minutes to 55 minutes, which really dragged down the Netflix Marvel shows.
That's not always the case. That isn't always the case. Like, I remember the OA, like one of the episodes from the first series, they're all about an hour long. One is 20 something minutes. Like, it was as long as it needed to be. I think the bigger problem with the Marvel shows on Netflix was the number of episodes rather than the episode lengths.
But it wasn't
adding them to 13 was not.
But the point is, the OA is the OA, but the Netflix Marvel shows were all behemoths. Every episode was behemoth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There were too many. They should have been 6 episodes each, not 13. It was
so ponderous as well. But going back to the Star Wars thing, if every single one of these shows, well, not even if every single one, but if most of these shows are as good as The Mandalorian, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Marvel stuff. If, you know, if they continue the run of quality that they've got, and if they have someone who is keeping an eye on the timelines, especially now they're introducing time travel, especially now they're introducing multiverses, and making sure that the whole thing makes some semblance of sense.
Making sure there's no more references to 8 years later, like in that Spider-Man movie. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm still scarred.
Clear out your desk, Carl. You fucked up. Let's move on to Pixar. And there were a couple of Pixar things that were announced. The big one, and this has caused quite a stir, not all of it good, I have to say, is Lightyear.
Yeah. So this is the story of the astronaut who inspired Buzz Lightyear. This is not Buzz Lightyear, which is apparently, you know, was kind of Chris Evans, for it is he voicing the character, his kind of condition of doing the job, because he was like, no, I can't be Buzz Lightyear, that's Tim Allen. And then they explained, no, we're talking a guy who inspired the creation of Buzz Lightyear. I don't know quite what that means, because Toy Story is sort of set in the real world. So I feel like it should be a Mercury astronaut type rather than a spaceman who meets aliens and goes to distant planets. So I'm intrigued to see how real they keep this in order to kind of maintain that conceit. But I'm kind of trusting Evans's taste, because he's got quite good taste, I think. And I'm hoping that he knows what he's signed up for. Yeah, I think it's cool.
I had a catch up with my friend who is a Toy Story scholar. We were very confused about this because, it is. They described it as big, mad sci-fi. It's like the most sci-fi thing we've ever done, which speaks to potential, interstellar travel, not just, I don't know, going to the moon, which everyone's been to the moon these days. So it seems like it's going there, which would mean that Toy Story is set in a world where interstellar travel exists. And that is insane.
Maybe we'll finally get to see the pizza planet.
Take me there.
I want to go to there. That would be exciting. Yeah, I'm torn about this. A lot of people have been very, very excited about this. Some people were very, very skeptical. I would have thought that lots of people would have embraced the potential opportunity of a Chris Evans Buzz toy, but apparently not.
Oh, Chris. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Made me turn red. God. And speaking of turning red.
No. I'm really not convinced by this one, but go ahead, Ben.
Oh, no, I'm so excited about turning red. This is by Dome Shi, who did that incredible short Bao. And she's got a feature film, an original feature coming at Pixar, which just sounds adorable to me. It's another culturally specific but universally relatable coming of age story. And this one is about a teenage girl who, when she feels overwhelmed, turns into a giant fluffy red panda. And they showed like a bit of imagery of this. It looks super cute. It looks lovely. I love like slightly mad Pixar stuff. Bao was great. If you described what Bao was to people, you'd be like, that sounds weird. And you describe this to people and they go, that sounds weird. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, my only concern is, first of all, I don't love animated movies where people turn into animals. And it's a real trope for heroes of color in animated movies, and I feel like we should maybe move away from that. And I have concerns about films where girls go through puberty, because it has been done so badly so many times, and there are so many cliches to avoid that it did slightly worry me. However, you know, Every day is Christmas Eve. And I do think Bao is extraordinary, so I am going to try and trust in her judgment. Yeah.
I'm just rereading Chris Evans' tweet. It's just like, and just to be clear, this isn't Buzz Lightyear the toy. This is the origin story of the human Buzz Lightyear that the toy is based on. Chris, you've actually made it even more confusing.
Hey.
But hey-ho.
Pixar are also doing a film called Luca, which is about a boy named Luca. So that's really enlightening. That was really helpful. Did you see more than that?
The footage from it looks absolutely stunning. It looks like super vibrant, like just lovely saturated color. It's set in Italy on the Italian Riviera. It's two boys having a big crazy summer. Yeah, looks stunning from that initial footage.
Are Pixar remaking Call Me by Your Name?
Right, yeah, this is the thing. There are sort of initial rumors. There's a Pixar short on Disney Plus, which is the first like LGBTQ Pixar story.
Yeah, it's really lovely.
So there are sort of potential thoughts that this could be Pixar's first queer story, which would be really cool. Either way,
awesome.
It looks colorful, and yeah, they've only previously released like little bits of concept art, but they showed a tiny bit of footage that looked dazzling.
I feel like we can't go past the fact that Lin-Manuel Miranda is doing a new movie for Disney Animation called Encanto, which is set in Colombia. So that's exciting. It's in development. They haven't, at least that I know of, declared whether that's Disney Plus or big screen, but they may be waiting to see how it turns out.
And Moana is getting a series.
Yeah.
Mm. Make way, make way.
Indeed.
Maybe you should be considering the coconut for 6 episodes.
That and Doug Day is the Up spin-off are going straight to the top of my watch list.
Did anybody see the footage they showed from Doug Days? It was incredible. They unleashed a box full of puppies on Doug and he got overwhelmed and they're all playing together.
I just
met
you and I love you.
They all start biting him. It's super funny. They showed a clip.
Also a Baymax series. My baby nephew is obsessed with Baymax and will be absolutely thrilled.
Yes, it's Baymax as a health robot, and each week he's helping a different person.
Oh my God.
It's him traveling around San Francisco helping a different person each week as the health robot.
Procedural Baymax.
This is an extraordinary amount of announcements. We haven't even mentioned the fact that there's an alien TV show.
I know. Noah Hawley's show.
Yeah, which is coming to FX, run by Noah Hawley, as James mentioned, of Legion and Fargo, and it will be set on Earth. And even though everything inside me is screaming that this is a bad idea and they should
not
do
this. In space, no one can hear you screaming, Chris.
So. Well, on Earth, everyone can hear me scream, especially on a podcast. But, you know, Noah Hawley is good people and has a largely very, very good track record. And apart from that movie he directed, but let's not talk about that. This could be good. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Intrigued.
There's still a part of me that's sad that Ridley Scott isn't doing his third Prometheus Covenant-y thing. Like, those films are batshit, but they're, like, well-intentioned, and he was clearly aiming for a trilogy. It makes me a bit sad that that's not going to happen. But maybe extra alien interest could help him make that happen. Who knows?
There's all sorts of stuff. We haven't even talked about the fact that in the Loki trailer, which is batshit insane, as we've discussed, you know, we get to see a Loki with short hair, which is cool. We get to see him talk about his brother and Heimdall.
Yeah.
We see him being snatched away by Heimdall's rainbow bridge type thing at the end of the trailer. What the hell is going on there? What timeline? What Earth is? What world? What universe is this set in?
Well, he escaped in 2012, so presumably that's the time frame. So it does kind of open, you know, Asgard as a potential location and everything else. But I don't care. I'm super on board for it. I didn't really need a trailer. I was just like Loki going around being crazy and doing stuff. Sold. Yeah, 100%. Here for it.
I think he's going to be in Love and Thunder. I think he's going to be back.
Sold here for it. Yeah.
I think this is a way of getting him back into Love and Thunder and getting him back into the MCU.
For Gore to butcher. That is literally his thing.
Yeah.
No, he's not going to be killed again. No, we're not going to go there again.
Also, maybe he sees himself, and maybe that's why he says to Thor in Infinity War that we will walk in green fields again, brother. Have I just blown my own mind?
The sun will shine in us again, brother.
Oh my God.
On Disney Plus.
On Disney Plus. Exclusively on Disney Plus.
That's in the subtitles.
I mean, it's implied. It's implied. I mean, there's tons of stuff. We haven't even mentioned the fact that in the Loki trailer, there is a shot of someone who looks like Natasha. And someone's also speculating that could be Loki's female form as well. So there could be lots of, you know, jiggery pokery going on in Loki as well. But, you know, I have long said, Hell's Bells, I have long said, Natasha ain't dead. She is coming back. She is coming back. And if it's anybody who can find a way around the Red Skull's skullduggery on Formir, it's our good friend Loki of Asgard.
For sure.
Anywho, then there's loads of Disney Plus movies as well. And, you know, there's a longer conversation to be had here that we don't have the time for on this podcast right now about films going directly to Disney Plus and bypassing cinemas and how I feel about that, which is, you know, as I said last week, it's great for people who can't get the cinema or find getting the cinema a pain or have access problems or people who live 50 miles away from cinemas. But also I feel it's, you know, it's important for companies like Warner Brothers and Disney to try and keep cinemas open. Yeah. And they are a little bit, you know, they are with the Marvel stuff by saying Black Widow is going to be in the cinemas and Love, Thor, Love and Thunder, Black Panther 2, all these things are going to be heading to cinemas. But equally, they are throwing a whole lot of money at original content. Well, I say original because it's all remakes or sequels or stuff that's been inspired by previous things. But
mostly,
some big names are coming to the small screen here on Disney Plus. So the new Robert Zemeckis, Tom Hanks movie, which ordinarily would have been a huge, huge noise, Pinocchio, is going to debut on Disney Plus. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I imagine I know how Robert Zemeckis feels about that, but I can't be 100% sure.
I think with that one is maybe that it's like not massively commercial in the way that some of the other films are. Like we saw that Dumbo didn't do huge business. Maybe there is not as much affection for certain properties in terms of people going out of their way to go to the cinema to see them. Whereas like Lion King 2 is definitely going to be on the big screen, but there is a huge audience for that who grew up on that film, who it's very relevant for. And I don't know if Pinocchio still has that relevance and resonance to get people in the cinema.
But something like Raya and the Last Dragon, following the Mulan model of the Disney Plus Premiere Access release, as well as being in cinemas where they're available, you know, that's kind of disappointing. I think it feels really unfortunate that we were just reaching this tipping point in terms of wider representation, you know, women, people of color, all sorts of different kind of cultural moments coming together in the films that were due for release this year and next. And those are the films that are being hit so hard by COVID. So, you know, what is, it's really disappointing that something like Raya and the Last Dragon is caught up in that and is affected by that in the same way that Mulan was, in the same way that Wonder Woman was, and so on. But at least we're seeing an ongoing commitment from these studios to wider representation, to new kinds of characters, to people not who are not white men called Chris, much as I love white men called Chris. I love white men called Chris, maybe not you, but many of them. And So I think it's really heartening, and I'm taking hope from all these announcements of things like Ironheart and our first look at Ms. Marvel and so on, that, you know, that's not a moment in time that's been thrown away forever, that women are not being blamed for the failure of the films this year at the box office, you know? That's encouraging.
The other Disney Plus movies are in the works are Sister Act 3.
Woohoo!
With Whoopi Goldberg.
Joyful.
And Enchanted 2 is happening, and it's called Disenchanted. And when I said there are some heavy hitters going straight to Disney Plus, this is one of them.
Yeah, I'm hyped about this. Finally, it's happening. It's been talked about for ages. I'm glad, if anything, I'm glad that Disney Plus is an avenue for this to happen. Like, maybe it opens up possibilities for things that they're not as certain will make tons of money, but they know will be a draw for people for online content.
Yeah.
Be honest, Ben, when you heard this, did you go,
yeah, and then all these like animals and birds and things came around. It was ace.
Yeah, there's the Three Men and the Baby reboot with Zac Efron. Hocus Pocus 2 is happening. Gabrielle Union's going to star in a remake of Cheaper by the Dozen. David Lowery's new film, Peter Pan and Wendy, which is a live-action version of You'll Never Guess What, is also going to go straight to streaming. It had been rumored for ages that Cruella, the Emma Stone starring live-action version of, well, prequel to 101 Dalmatians, was going to be on Disney Plus, but it seems to be going straight to cinemas, which is good. Jungle Cruise, Cruella, The Little Mermaid, and The Lion King prequel, directed by Barry Jenkins, are all going to be in cinemas. So that's exciting.
One last thing on the Disney front, I'm really excited that Tiana from Princess and the Frog is getting a series. Like, that film's really underrated. It was the last gasp of the initial Disney 2D era of, like, finally having a black princess, and they haven't really done a huge amount with her since. So I think it'd be exciting that they're sort of bringing this character back.
I just want to see her wandering around New Orleans eating beignet. Super hair for her.
Listen, there's We could talk about this stuff for 2 hours and still not even scratch the surface. But it is, if I can beg your understanding, it is Friday night. So I could let these people go and enjoy their Friday night. And I'm sure we'll discuss this as more stuff comes to light about this in future. I don't think all the news was good. As I say, the Fox Searchlight news or the Searchlight Pictures and the 20th Century Studios news, I'm a little bit worried about that. But for the most part, what we saw and what we heard was very, very exciting indeed. So, yeah, fingers crossed, and we'll keep an eye on the situation and see what develops. But that is it, I think, for this impromptu Disney investor call.
Oh, God.
I mean, nothing says the romance of cinema like those words, right? The Disney investor call discussion special. Dear God in heaven. Should we just call it the Disney slate?
Disney slate announcement, at least that sounds
a little bit better, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's it for the Disney Slate discussion special. Join us next time, I guess, when we'll be doing this. We'll be doing this next year, every year. There might be a Sony investor call discussion special, a Warner Brothers investor call discussion special. Wherever there are investor calls, you can bet the Team Empire will be there 24 hours after the fact to talk about it. But until we meet again, until a auspicious occasion, until next time, it is goodbye from... You haven't changed your name, have you, from Star Wars?
I haven't changed my name.
It is goodbye from Ben Travis.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Ben. It's goodbye from James Dyer.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from... What's F4X3, Helen?
It's the third time around for Fantastic Four. I don't know. I was trying to think fast and it didn't work, so hey.
No, it's good. It was good. I like it. It's goodbye from Helen O'Hara, and it is goodbye from me in Fest R Call. I'm off to do a whole bunch of things. I'm off to go through that Loki trailer frame by frame, because I suspect there is a lot of treasures to be found in that trailer. I'm off to just say the word Quantumania over and over and over again. But most of all, I'm off to call my broker, invest in Disney. Buy. I have £20. How much will that get me? £20 worth, presumably. Is that even a share? Do I even get a share for that?
I mean,
I don't think so.
Subscription to Disney Plus for like a couple of months. That might do it.
I'll take it. Sold. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.